things that the Lord was telling me is that, and I spoke about, you can go ahead and raise it all up and close that out, Michael, is that we're burning the yokes of past. We're burning the yokes of what we know to embrace something we don't know. And because of that, we're also going to do something that is required of us in the scriptures. But we have a tendency to overlook it. And I told you that the word for 2013 would be change. The Lord has instructed me to teach, preach you into 2013 with change. We're not going to wait till 2013 to begin ministering to you about the Word of God, about change. We're going to do it now. Because the Bible tells how you leave is how you enter. We're going to leave changed so that when we step into our new place, wherever that may be in your life, you step into change. Amen? Well, let's. I know this is our Bible study. I want to share something with you. I believe that God is speaking into the body. And as Minister Liz came up to me and just began to share something with me, and I said, oh, my God, Liz, will you just look and read my topic tonight? And it's more confirmation. More confirmation. If you would, get in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians 4. If you're in need of a Bible, raise your hand. We'll get you one. We have some in the back. Raise your hand. Two, three. Okay, Michael, can you get him underneath that chair right there? Thank you. If I could, just, you know how I am. I just have a tendency to just to be very free and open. When you go to get into your car, you make sure you have your keys, don't you? When you're going to go get your nails done or your hair did, you make sure you have your checkbook or your credit card or your cash, correct? When you go to the basketball court, you make sure you have basketball or your sneakers. Correct? Did you not just come from, did you have a game or? You had a game. So if all of both the teams and the team members would have showed up to the basketball court, but nobody bought the ball, would y'all be playing basketball? So I'm here to tell you, guys, God is speaking about the Word of God, and He wants us to understand that it's very valuable to our life. And in these coming days, we're going to know something about how relevant it is when they say that the Word of God can be taken from you. If I can just encourage you, get in the Word. Get in the Word, because if you don't get in the Word can depart. And I'm talking about the written. Now, the word will always stand. But if you ain't in it, you're not going to understand. Okay? Are you at 2 Corinthians 4? 2 Corinthians 4. I will begin to read at verse 1. And I'm going to title this message, Losing the Veil of Shame. Losing the veil of shame. Father, we honor you in your word. Whether we're sitting, we're standing, running, we just honor you in the word. And how we honor you, Father, is we take the time to hear the word, apply the word, and do the word. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you that today we're in the presence of the Holy Ghost in this house. You said in your word, when two or three are gathered in the midst, you are there. That is the system of the kingdom that represents unity, that when we come together, the system of the kingdom works, because we can ask of anything in your name and it shall be done. So, Father, because we've come in your name tonight, Lord, we ask, Father, that you open up the minds, open up the hearts, and open up their soul, Father God, so they can receive what is spoken and what is written to be the rhema word for its season now. Prepare your people's hearts to receive the word, that it will take root into their soul and into their spirit, and that it will be edified and continue to move forward in their life to prepare the way for them for a new beginning. We thank you for new beginnings every day. We thank you for new mercy and new grace. Father, we thank you for, therefore, there is no condemnation in those that believe in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Now we bind the plans of the enemy of confusion. We bind the plans of the enemy of distraction. And we bind every spirit that is contrary to the word of God. We take it captive. We take hold of it now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4 at verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame. Not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who is light, shall shine out of the darkness, is the one who has shone in the hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Father, we thank you for your word is true yesterday, today, and forever. We cherish it, for your word is you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you see there where it says in verse 2, but we renounce the things hidden because of shame? You see that? Now, I know we have many different versions of the Bible, and some of us will have different readings and different vernaculars in there. But what I want to share with you is that sometimes we have to understand where the beginning of something starts, and it's called in the Bible the law of first mention. The principle of reading the Bible isn't just picking up and reading a novel. You're going to read the book because it's life. Sometimes you may read a scripture and it means something to you one day. You pick it up the next and it's going to mean something the whole different day. It's alive. If you don't believe me, get in the Bible. I've been telling you, there's some good stories in the Bible. Good stories. Had a conversation with someone the other day, and I said, man, every time I get in the Bible, I start reading. It's like, my God, that's the God we serve? And the people that read this Bible have become millionaires. You know, your Steven Spielbergs. Many other directors and writers that use the Bible to make their movies. But yet they profit and we don't. Say, Pastor, well, the gospel is not about profiting and the money. I'm talking about profiting in our soul. My mind, my will, and all my emotions. I want to do good. But if someone else can take a story out of the Bible and use it for their good and be prosperous, but they don't have the knowledge of who he truly is. We do. So why are we the ones walking around like this? Why are the Christians the ones that are always busting? Walk around like they've eaten a whole bag of lemons. And on top of that, added salt with it instead of the sugar. Why is that? I'm going to show you what I believe that the Lord is showing me. The law first mentioned talking about shame and also talking about the veil. Do you see that in verse 3? And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Who's the perishing one? The unbelievers. Okay? This is probably going to rock your theological minds, but you have a lot of people that believe in Jesus Christ that are still unbelievers. Do you understand that? Yes. They're unbelievers because they don't believe in all of the word. They believe in Jesus Christ unto salvation, but they don't believe in the word unto the kingdom of God. Amen. Do you understand? Yes. And this is what we have to understand, that it's twofold. Yes, you're saved, but there's so much more than just being saved. You have to learn how to live right. That's right. How is it that we're going to go ahead and spend all of our tax dollars, especially tonight at about 10:01, when the lotto is going to bring forth a winner, but the real winner is the government because they get money right off the top. Do you understand? But originally when the lotto was created, it was to help the school systems. We don't have a problem going and buying the lotto ticket. I'm not condemning it. I bought one too. I'm no fool. I even laid hands on a shikabasokororobo. And I put scripture all over that lotto too. You have stored up the wealth of the wicked for me, the righteous. Y'all don't pray like that for the lotto? See, y'all probably think, oh, Pastor, you talking about the lotto. I'm talking about money. Not only did he say that, he says that I'll use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Let me win me a couple $1 million. You sure are going to see me in this house wearing some fly suit. You know, I had to go there with the suit, but, you know, maybe some boots and some jeans. I don't know. But what is wrong with us enjoying what God has promised us? You know, our pastors all over the place tell me, no, we don't do that lotto thing. Okay, my trust is in God, my provider.
He's got to get it somehow.
If he wants to give it to me through that system, I'll take it. And then I got real religious with some of them. I'm just supporting the school system. You know how we do. Because if you can justify it, if you can justify spending that money, then you feel okay. Correct? Don't be looking at me all crazy. Because you know this past week when it was Thanksgiving, we were all sinners. You know that, right? Gluttony. You know, when you eat too much, you don't feel right. Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Probably skyrocketed. So because you sinned, just because you ate so much, did you lose your blessing?
No.
Did you lose the promises? Did you feel bad when you took that extra piece of cheesecake or pumpkin pie with the extra scoop of whipped cream and you had the little crumbs on the side that you saved for later? And when you didn't have enough whipped cream, you went and got another scoop of whipped cream to put it on there just so you can finish those crumbs. Did you feel bad when you did it? Now, why is it that the enemy will come in and make you feel like, because you're a sinner and you did something, that you feel like you have shame? Why is it? Well, you're supposed to say, why is it, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Let me just tell you. Let's go to Genesis, the law first mentioned. I want you to go to Genesis 2. Genesis 2. Yeah, you know, I'm just going to tell you this, that at the turn of 2013, we are going to have a Spanish service in the House of Manna. Spanish service. So for those that do not understand English and they prefer Spanish, we will have a service. Don't ask me when, because I'm still trying to figure out the details right now. I am fasting and praying for many things that are coming in 2013. Amen. In Genesis, I'll tell you what, let's go. So Genesis 1, verse 22, if you would, please. Back it up. Just hit it reverse and go Genesis 1, verse 22. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Genesis is called the book of the beginning, the book of creation. Okay? Now, when you hear the law first mentioned, you have to understand that God is telling you this is why this is transgressed throughout Scripture. So that you understand when you read it later in Scripture, you got to know where it stemmed from. Okay? And this is what I want to show you. Why the enemy does what he does concerning shame, guilt, condemnation. Okay? In Genesis 1 at verse 22, and some of you may not know the story, and I'm not condemning that. I'm just saying God is creating the heavens and the earth. He's creating the beasts. He's creating the trees, creating all the living animals. And then he creates man and woman. Okay? I can go in deep with that and say that God created man and female, male and female, at the same time. So for many people that feel that women are not to be preaching, your truth is right here, that we're made equal in his image. The only reason you ever hear people come against the women is because of what I'm going to show you again in the truth in the beginning. For the men in the house, I love you. And if you're sitting next to your spouse, just smile, for it is wisdom. In the beginning, God begins to create the expansion, which is the stars, the heavens, and the earth. Okay? He begins to create everything. Was man around yet? No. Man was not around. Because if you read on in Genesis, read through, all the time that God was doing creation, he was being the creative work, man wasn't around. Good thing. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. He doesn't need our help when he's creating things for us. Amen. Okay? So now we see that he creates all the beautiful fish, the giraffe. He creates even the monkeys. He creates the gorillas. He creates all these beautiful animals. Then the Bible says that from the dust of the earth, he creates man. Where is evolution in this? Shut your lying mouth, Satan. Last I check, I do not come from a primate, if you would. I come from the image of my Father that is in heaven. And when I look at you, and I look at you, and I look at you, I look just like you. Because I look just like God. You look just like God. People have a hard time wondering, how did someone get here? We had to evolve from something. The Bible clearly tells you from the beginning what it is. It does. So it's wonderful. We understand how he made all that. Now, if you see, before he creates Adam, he does a lot of wonderful things. So then he creates Adam, and he tells Adam something that's very, very important to do. Correct? Go to verse 22 in Genesis 1. God blessed him, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. There was evening and there was morning, a fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth and their kind, and the cattle of every kind, everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and them rule over the fish. Do you see that right there? Them rule over. Let them rule. Let them rule. Who? Not just Adam. Them. Over what? Creation. Correct? Okay, now watch this. We're going to go deep. And if you're going to come next Wednesday, we're going to continue on. And if you're going to come on Sunday, we're going to continue on. And if you come all through December, you're going to get enlightened about something that's going to take place. Hallelujah. All right, now. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky. Say sky. Say sky. Say sky. That is the heavenlies. Amen. Let him rule over. Does some of your Bibles say follow the air? Huh? Birds of the air. Fowl of the air. Okay, just making sure that we're all reading the same thing. The airwaves is your second heaven. Okay? In your second heaven, we have authority over it. Did he not tell us that? Okay, now, here we go. We're going to start getting deep. I already feel something taking place. I'm getting all hot here. Thank you, Jesus. Hot flashes for men. It's okay. 27, God created man in his image, and in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28, God blessed them. Say, blessed them. Blessed. Who blessed them? God. He blessed them, both. And God said to who? Them. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish, the sea, over the birds, the sky, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Everything that moves, correct? Okay. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed in the surface of the earth, and every tree which is yielding its seed, it shall be food for you. Okay, now he's already given provisions. You see that? First he's giving them a blessing. Then he gives provision. Do you see that? Okie dokie now. And to every beast of the earth and every bird of the sky and everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. Now watch this, verse 31. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. concerning man. All right, now we're in chapter 2. You following me? If I said anything that don't make no sense to you, just let me know. We're going to dialogue here. Is everybody kind of following along? God spoke, he created, but during the creating process, Adam and Eve were just kind of chilling. They weren't even created yet, correct? They were in the spirit. So in other words, when he reaches down and begins to create, he creates the body for the soul, the spirit. Not your body because the spirit needed somewhere to go. He created because it takes dominion over everything. Everything. Now watch. Chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their hosts. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So I don't know about you, but I like to rest. God rested. Okay, now here we go now on verse 4. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made earth and heaven. Now no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted. For the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. Okay. But a mist used to rise from the earth and the water whole surface of the ground. Verse 7. Then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden towards the east of Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord caused to grow every tree that is pleasing in sight and the good and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now I want you to jump over to verse 15. He goes on to, on those are the verses from 11 to 14, he talks about the rivers in the garden that they go forth. Verse 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. Okay, do you see the transition? Now transition just took place. Now there's placement with authority and with blessing and with provision. That's our natural state, okay? Then the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat it, for it you shall surely die. Okay, here's the first command of a law that is not to be broken, correct? Now, I want you to, so we don't over-spiritualize something. For those of you that have children, raise your hand. Pretty much majority. Children in the room, I love you. But listen, I was a child, still am a child. My mama tells me, don't do this. What is the first thing that yours truly is going to do? Going to go do that. Do you understand? That's our nature. And have you seen that with your kids? How about, don't go talk to that individual anymore. They wind up with that individual. Is that right, Mama? No. Some of them, Mama said, don't do that one. No. Well, and I did that one. That's my mama back there, if you don't know. That's my mama. Mamas know best. Mamas know best. You know why mamas know best? It's in the Bible. You know why they know best? I'm about to show you. Verse 18. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. It goes back again. Watch this. Why would God say this right here? Out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man so to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called the living creature, that was his name. The man gives names to all the cattle and to the birds, sky, and every beast of the field. But Adam, there was not found a helper suitor for him. So the Lord caused Adam into a deep sleep. Here comes creation again. When God is creating circumstances in your life for you, move out the way. Amen. This is scripture right here. Every time God was in the creative process, man was put out of the way so that we wouldn't have our input to help God. Because, you know, like, we need to help God. God don't know everything. We got to help him. Okay, if you understand that, then he's going to tell, man, I'm going to create you a mate. I'll put you to sleep. Man, just look at the cross. Just look at the cross. Trust me. Look at the cross. He creates man from the dust of the earth and the beast. But when he creates woman, he has to put the man asleep. I says, I'm going to talk to you, man. So that certain things that the man may feel like he may want or may think that that's what he desires is not put into the equation of creation. Because what he does is say, I need you to sleep because what I have in store for you comes from the closest part of your heart is the rib. She was not created from the earth. She was created from the side of the heart. Why do mamas know best? And why do mamas know everything that's going to take place before you ever do anything? Because they're close to your heart. You ever come up against a mama's child and you want to put your hands on a mama's child, you're about to lose your hand, much less your life, because they will fight to the end. Amen. And there ain't nothing wrong with it. You just lay hands on them and pray for them. If you got to resurrect them, you resurrect them. They shouldn't be laying hands on your children to begin with. Amen. Correct? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Ghost. Verse 21, so the God caused him a deep sleep to fall upon the man. He slept. Then he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. Then the man said, watch this. This is the first revelation in human history that Adam speaks concerning the creation for him. Do you see this? This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Woman. Okay, we can go to that silly, whoa, man. We can go there. But in reality, it means soft. It means soft. A woman is soft and delicate. Men, keep looking at the cross, please. Delicate. God was making a point here, and this is the first time that revelation was ever given to man. When he woke from the sleep, and this is what I'm trying to show you here, one thing, the law of first mention, man gets revelation when he's at rest. Man does not get revelation when he's at work. He gets it when he's at rest. When you get revelation knowledge at rest, this is my woman. She's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Soft. So now he's declaring his love for this woman. You know how men do. The chocolate, the roses, and the movies, and the wine and dine. For about the first couple of months, and then after that, you don't see it no more. But watch, and I'm going to show you. I'm trying to help you, man. Just trying to help you. Go down for 24. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. No shame. Once you understand where God has placed you, he has given you provisions, promise, and he's given you authority, then he gives you a helpmate in that. Now, I'm not going to talk to you about some of you that are in here that are single, and I want you to feel bad. You are more like God right now and closer because you don't have distraction. That's what Paul writes in Corinthians. That's what he writes. He doesn't say that's inspired of God. He says inspired of me. The apostle is given that. Don't feel ashamed. I'm about to help you. You're about to get your mate. You're about to get your mate. Now go down to chapter 3. Now, he just blessed Adam, blessed him with promises, provisions, and authority, gave him a woman, and look at what happens. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord had made, and said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from the tree of the Garden of Eden?" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God, he said, you shall not eat from it, touch it, or you will die." The serpent said to the woman, "You shall surely not die, for God knows that you in that day that you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Who did the enemy come to deceive? The gift. The helpmeet. Why did he not go to Adam? Why did he not go to the authority? This is a spiritual warfare that has taken place. Deception that comes into your promise. You know your promise. That you're blessed to be a blessing. That's your promise. Deception will come in to make you think you're not going to get any of it because of guilt or shame. Because you messed up or you're not in church. Or you don't know the Bible like you're supposed to know. He'll do whatever. He's going to say silly stuff to begin with. He's going to try to get you to abort your own blessing. So he goes to the woman because he's coming in contradiction to the authority. You can get all kinds of spiritual connotations from this right here. When you ever see a spirit that is operating in a church, it doesn't come directly to the head. It always goes to the helpmeets. Because if it comes to the authority will see it and take it out. So it's sly. Deception. Deception comes in. Why did deception come to the woman? Which begins the beginning of the enmity with woman and Satan. So if you would go on now to number 8. I'm sorry, go to number 7. Genesis 3, verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. So you know that when you do something wrong, you have a tendency to cover it up? Shame comes in because now you know you disobeyed. When I would make a mistake, and it's usually a doozy, my mom would know I made a big mistake. I couldn't hide it. So I did anything I could just to cover it up. But she could see right through it. Now, they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the gardens. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" So, wait a minute. So, after Adam and Eve already fell, they fell into sin, they disobeyed God, but yet God still came to them. Do you see that? Why is it that the enemy will make you feel that when you sin, you're never going to get close to God? It's in the Bible. He comes to you regardless. Matter of fact, he makes it a point to come to you when you do fall. To let you know, nothing is going to keep you away from me. Amen. Nothing. You're going to understand one thing. My promises for you are forevermore. You may have messed up in your life. You may have done something really, really bad. You may be holding condemnation over your life because of a guilt thing that you have done, and you felt like it was never, ever going to go away, nor the sting or the pain was ever going to subside. You may have hurt someone so bad, but you think that I've messed up so bad. How can God ever forgive me? He did it in the twinkling of an eye, and you were transformed by the renewing of your mind, the renewing of your body. You became a new creature the moment you accepted Jesus Christ into your life. All your sins were forgiven. Yesterday's, today's, and when you leave here tonight. And tomorrow. And then when you turn 99, you turn 150, 160. Because I want to live long. I want to enjoy what God has given me. I want to see my great-grandchildren, my children's children's children, children's children. I mean, those are my blessings. But one thing is for sure, the enemy is trying to come at your promises. When a promise is spoken to you, he's going to challenge it. When a blessing is told to you, he's going to challenge it. He's going to make sure you do everything in your power to get rid of that blessing, power, and authority. So why is it so important that when God is saying, remove the veil of shame, it's not that you're separating yourself, it's that you're not loosing yourself from your own guilt. You're holding on to your past and not embracing your future. And in order for us to get into 2013 with change, or to even embrace the things that God wants to give to you and bless you, because he wants to just shower you down with gifts, good gifts, the gifts that are called peace and love, the gifts that are called to enjoy your blessings now, not when you go home to be with the Lord. He wants you to be blessed. But what the trick of the enemy is for you to say, no, I don't deserve it. I messed up real bad the other day when I started talking about pastor. I messed up real bad the other day when I didn't like what was going on. And I started talking about so-and-so and so-and-so. You think God is worried about that? He wants you loose from that. He wants to renew your mind so you're not caught up in that. But more importantly, he wants to remove that shame, that guilt. He wants to remove that veil that we placed on ourselves. See, Adam and Eve, they were naked. They had nothing to hide. They were in the full glory of God. But when Adam fell, of course, you all know that the sin entered into mankind. After that, you hear so many people talk, well, your sinful nature. Let me correct that. When you're a born-again Christian, you don't have a sinful nature no more. Because that's a contradiction to the fact that he took all sin and nature of sin to the cross. You are a renewed creature. You're the righteousness of God. And what he has planned and given you is yours. Don't let what the enemy is trying to do to cloud your eyes. Remember what we read in Corinthians? Let's go back to Corinthians real quick and I'll read it. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it to you. 2 Corinthians 4, and it goes back and says on verse 3, and even our gospel is veiled. It is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they may not see the light. He is going to keep your eyes, your revelation and knowledge and understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel of the kingdom so that you don't inherit what is rightfully yours. That's what he's going to do. I'm here to encourage you. It's time for you to release those veils. You go on and read in Genesis that God gets very, very specific on the curse. That he puts enmity between the woman and the serpent. That's why you will see that women are always attacked in church. Women are always been put lesser than man. Because the enemy knows if I can take woman out of the equation, which is the helpmeet and most backbone of men, that is the truth. My armor bearer isn't that man sitting there, it's her. Because she can only minister to me like nobody else. I love my mama, but she's not my armor bearer. The truth of the matter is, she knows everything about me because we're one flesh. So to get to the authority, you get to the one that's closest to your heart. You ever wonder why marriages come under so much attack? And it usually comes through the wife. Not saying you're the fault. No. Has nothing to do with that. But the blame will always be put on the woman. Always does. I'm talking from experience. I thought I had it all. I knew everything. But all the problems that I was going through and all the problems in the marriage is because it's you, not me. Two failed marriages later, it's me. I'll give maybe the first one. Okay, the second one, it was me. But what enemy was doing was making me see something different so that I would just get away from commitment. Do you understand? When you can break covenant and commitment you break loose of what God has called the most sacred thing is called marriage. It's not to talk about anybody that is not married right now. I'm just to encourage you. When you find your soulmate, you find a good thing, a very good thing. And if you're single right now, you have a very good thing right now. You have the ultimate husband of all. It's Jesus Christ. When my wife walked down the aisle, she wore a veil. So doesn't the bride wear a veil when they come down? Some veils cover the face. Some veils just cover the back. Have you ever been to a Catholic church? And I remember this from my grandmother. She would take me to the church. And this little pet called Sin Sin. Some of y'all maybe have tasted it and y'all can't stand it. Y'all just, you love it, right? I know you love it. See, I would sit there as a little child, probably about Edith's age, and I would sit there in the pews. And in order for her to keep me quiet, and I used to think this was gum. It's not gum at all. It's little pieces of licorice infused with some other stuff. And I would eat the whole package. The whole thing just sitting there. Now, I would look at my grandmama, and she would have this little netting that she would put over her head. And it would cover her face. And it was a veil. Now, me as a little kid, I'd laugh. I told you, I'm the knucklehead. And I would do this number as she's praying, you know, because you're, you know, just face this way like you're praying. Well, me as a little kid would get on my knees and, what are you doing? Mamá. So she keeps on praying, and then she's crying. My grandmama cried, oh, Lord. Why are you crying?
You were crying.
I didn't understand the veil. I didn't know that. Trying to be serious with you. I didn't know what that meant. That was her getting into her prayer mode. And so she'd be praying and crying and I'm crying. And the package of the sin is all over the place. I've finished it. And I'm like, I'm bored now, but you're crying. I'm crying. I don't know what's going on. So I didn't know. And grandmas back in the day, you cannot make noise in church. You said it, mama. You said it right there. I wore long sleeves for a long time. Bruises right here. And I didn't know that you can talk through the teeth that are. What? Because, you know, kids, we do that. What? And so when I don't understand something, I went, huh? And it would get worse. She'd get real mad. And then she would change colors. But I didn't know how to respect the veil. I didn't understand. There's a time that when we get into the Holy of Holies, that you're alone with God. Nobody else enters in but you and God. And when you get into the Holy of Holies, you're behind the veil. And when you're behind the veil, you are behind the veil in the darkest part of the tent of tabernacle. Because it has so many layers of flesh that has been sacrificed to cover it. When the light shines up through the Holy of Holies from the lampstand, you see the blood-stained skin to signify to you your flesh must die to be in the presence of God. Do you understand? So when my grandmother would put that down, I remember it very, very vividly. And it was a little, I don't know how they could get it in a little square when they would fold it up. And she would pull it out and she would put it on. Well, eventually I got it. I figured it out. When that goes on, be still. Now, being in the Catholic Church that I was in, they had those... I lose the name. Well, I know it's the pews, but then you have the little thing that you can kneel on. Little kneeler. Now, for some reason, as a child, I felt it very interesting every time I would pick off all the candle wax that was on all the way through. I was raised Catholic, okay? Raised Catholic. So, and I love, don't matter. Love y'all. If you're Catholic, Protestant, whatever, you're family. So we're family. But because I was a little knucklehead that couldn't sit still, grandma's right here, mama's praying, and when she's praying, she gets deep in prayer. She wouldn't know if I left. So, and mind you, I was in great shape my whole life. I was big. So now, and you know these pews don't have a lot of room. I would go down that whole row picking off all of that wax. I'm bored. Memo's praying. By the time I get to the end of that row, I go to the next row. People are praying. They're not stopping me because I'm crawling. Next thing I remember, this is honest to God, too. God rest her soul. It's like, bing, the light went off. I've never seen my grandma's eyes so big. And I was so scared. I didn't get up when I saw her. Big mistake. About two rows back, I'm looking at her like the pew's like that. I'm looking. She grabs a hold of my ear. At this point, Memo did not care who was looking at her. Say something to me. Dragging me out like that in my ear. I used to have big ears. Now they're small because she's pulling. But you understand that the veil to her was her quiet time and prayer. That's a good veil when you can be alone with God. But what the enemy wants to do is put a veil over your eyes so you never see truth. If you get truth and revelation knowledge, it can never be taken away from you. He'll test you on it, but he can't take that revelation away because it's yours. Do you understand? So when revelation comes to you, it is your job to testify of the revelation that you got from God. Okay? Here's a flip side to that. There's many people that seek after the deep things of revelation, and it has nothing to do with Scripture or God. Be careful. Let the Holy Spirit guide you, lead you, and teach you all things. But when you start digging someplace you're not supposed to dig, you're going to get something you should have never got. You always let the Holy Spirit guide you and lead you, and you'll get revelation knowledge. The revelation knowledge that I'm giving to you today is something that I want you to understand. Remove the veil of shame. If you don't have things in order at your house, don't think that you can't be used of God in the church. If you don't have things going right in your job, don't think you can't get the blessing of God. That's a lie. And if you're struggling in your life and finances, don't think you're never going to get your finances. It's a lie.
Amen. Amen.
The enemy wants to lie to you about your promised provision and most of all, your authority. Remove the veil of shame. Of shame. God still came to walk with them in the garden when they fell. When they sinned. And if it was back then, Jesus wasn't around yet on the cross, the forgiveness of sin, but God himself still came. That's to let you know God's going to come into the midst of wherever you're at to meet you right where you're at, regardless of what you're going through, because he loves you that much. And he wants to restore to you what you have lost, whether it be through shame, guilt, or by somebody else's offense put on you. And everything that you've been through, beloved, in the back row with white shirt and you've got that stripe, everything that you have been going through for the past 15 years, 15 years, has been so hard to the point you just couldn't even take it no more. Wondering if you were going to make it even out of your circumstance. Matter of fact, you worried for your own life at the hand of a man. You wondered if you were ever going to survive the next day. And you lived in fear for so long. If I can only tell you, beloved, those days are over. Amen. The days of fear are over. You shall live and not die. And I declare unto you, even in the mind and also within the heart, you have palpitation in your heart at times. And I declare unto you the healing power of God to come into that region and remove the calcium buildup that is building up in your arteries. And I declare unto you, you are healed, and you shall receive the testimony that God has said you are healed by the written document from the doctor that you are healed. You won't be on the medication. God is doing it because he loves you. Amen. He loves you. You have made the right choice to follow after God. You know God. You knew him at a distance. Now get him close to you. Pursue him.
Thank you, Lord.
Pursue him. Matter of fact, I see some grieving in your heart. I see some grieving in your heart for a loved one. There's some grieving there. Very close to you. If I can speak, beloved, the Bible says absent from the body is to be in the presence of God. Beloved, and I don't know you, or maybe I do when I was little. I don't know. My family is bringing people. I don't know. Okay. Well, amen. Then you know what I'm talking about. I was always fit, right? Remember, I was always fit. But I want to tell you that I see the hand of God that has a protection around you. Around you. Two car accidents should have taken you out, but did not take you out. That the angel of God steadied it, and you should have been dead twice in two different car accidents, but he kept you. You're the backbone and the majority of the family, but you feel like you've caused so much pain. You didn't. Your family loves you. And for everything that you have gone through, he's seen every tear that you have cried. The sleepless nights that you have in your bed that you toss and turn with the nightmares. I'm here to declare unto you, beloved, that the presence of God, and you feel him right now. Your body's getting warm. You feel the temperature in your body going up. Not because I'm speaking to you, because he's standing with you. He's holding you right here. Mijito, I love you. Mijita, I love you. I love you. I love you. And he's telling me to tell you that you will have peaceful nights. You will not walk in fear. You will not sleep in fear. Even when you hear I hear like a screen door shutting. Psst, and you know where that screen door, when that screen door shuts, you tense up. God says, I'm going to just remove that fear. And I station right now, take authority over the front door, the back door, the top of the roof, to the bottom of the foundation. I declare that the presence of God would dwell in that house. Take authority and rule over it to begin to change and shift the atmosphere where you live and those connected to you. And the one that is going through a very tough time right now, that individual is the one that has been crying, I need help, I need help, I need help, but I don't know how to get help. I need help. Beloved, there's an angel that is in his side right now that is beginning to even just permeate in his presence that he feels peace. And right now, he needs peace more than ever. So much peace. I declare it to you, beloved of God, walk in the favor that God has given you to sustain your life, to keep you alive, to see your blessings manifest. Manifest. And if I can say this, you're not going to be in that area where you're at much longer. There's a transition that is going to take place. And I want to say this. There is some money that has been held up that is being released for you. God bless you, John. Bless you. Bless you. God bless you. Ooh, hallelujah. 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 I don't know your name, beloved. I don't know your name. But I've been watching you, looking at you, and, you know, kind of just joking around in the message. You have a very sweet presence about you. Very sweet. And it speaks more about the spirit. You can go into a room, and you sit quiet here. I don't know if this is mom or not. But you are a clown just like me. You're a clown just like me. You like to have fun. You like to dance. Matter of fact, I see you more like cheerleading and always moving, doing a lot of things. You move quickly, quickly. If I can tell you this, what you're going through is nothing compared of where you're about to be. Are you in middle school right now or high school? You graduated? Okay. Well, my God, that's a blessing what I gave you. That's a compliment. That's a compliment. Yes, it's a compliment. What I want to tell you is where you're going, he's going to take you in levels very quickly. Very quickly. Concerning knowledge. And what you thought that you were going to do as a profession is going to change one more time. And when it changes, you're going to know it by this one is going to be out of passion. Out of passion. You've wondered and wandered ambiguously not knowing what to do. But God is going to settle that because of the love that he has for you. Because you've been asking, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to go there or am I supposed to stay here? And God is going to answer you as you sleep and rest to give you instructions on what to do. Your future of what God is going to do with you. Now, I don't know if you have siblings or not, but I see a lot of youth around you. Now, I'm not going to prophesy you to be a youth pastor. I'm just going to tell you, you have influence. You have influence. Many come around you just to talk to you because you're able to give them the ear and you'll not judge or you won't even gossip. But they go to you a lot. Be that influence and give him your heart. Because God is using you with the gift of love and grace. You're a blessing. You're a blessing. You're a blessing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There's been a hard breakup with someone that's a friend of yours that is going through a tough time wondering, what am I going to do? And you've had to talk her out of what she was going to do and didn't do it, and you talked her through it because she trusted your words of wisdom. God is good. God is good. You're a blessing. Are you her mom? Stepmom. That's a blessed child right there. Blessed child. Celebrate, girl. Celebrate. Celebrate. You're going to see a lot of changes quick in your life. Quick. Quick. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, who invited you here, man? Okay. Stay on the wall, beloved. Stay on the wall. Stay on the wall. Draw your arrow. Draw it back. Release it. And every time you release it for others, God is doing for you. Stay on the wall. He's called you to be a watchman in this season, in this hour. But he's called you also to be on your face at times. Not all the time. Matter of fact, you like to move around when you pray. You like to move around. Stay on the wall. Stay on the wall. He's called you to intercede for nations. And matter of fact, he's put Obama in your spirit very, very strong lately. Cover him, his family, and his precious children. Stay on that wall. I can't tell you enough. Stay on that wall. Don't get moved. Don't come down to the valley of, oh, no. Stay up there. Don't let men come and try to tell you, you got to do this, you got to do that. If it don't line up with thus saith the Lord in your life right now, don't do it. Stay put. Many have come to try to get into your ear to influence you, but you're the type that says, if I don't feel it, I ain't doing nothing anyhow. And sometimes they even get afraid to come up and tell you anything because they already know, if she ain't feeling it, you better just back off. I was to call you a Deborah in this season, in this hour, you would understand one thing. I've called you to raise up a people, to deliver a people, and to get them out of their tribulation and their trials. Wisdom and knowledge that I have given to you, says God, for 20 plus years, 20 plus years. God has blessed you with the knowledge of his word and blessed you to see with a seer's eye, a seer's anointing, to understand. And when you hear his voice, you shall speak it. Not only that, the interpretation of tongues is resident inside of you. Father, I just thank you for this precious woman of God. I thank you that what you're doing in her life right now is unlocking the doors right now. Unlock those doors, God. And as she stands upon the wall, as you've called her to be a watchman in this season, in this hour, Lord, I thank you and I bless her. Father, I just thank you that she knows to hear your voice. And Father, what you show her in her visions, God, and in her dreams, she will have an understanding to speak it. Keep writing everything that you're writing down, write it down. Because God is going to continue to give you more instructions. And you shall see it come to pass. Even when you turn on the TV and you watch, you get a lot of confirmation on what God has already given you. I should have been preaching that. God gave me that. Your voice is going to be heard. It's going to be heard. You're not past your prime. You're only stepping into the time. You're stepping into the time. Keep praying for the people. Keep praying for them. Matter of fact, you get a lot of phone calls. You get a lot of phone calls. Can you pray for me? Can you pray? I've got somebody I need you to pray. Can you just keep that phone on your hip? Because you're going to be praying for a lot more. They shall know the goodness of God that is working through you. And the healing hand of God that he has blessed you with. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You've seen testimony after testimony after testimony. Let me encourage you. Let me encourage you. Let that shame go. Let it go. And let him give you the veil that is in the Holy of Holies to be in his presence as he releases instructions for his people. Deborah, it's time for you to rise up. Your blessing, a blessing, a chosen and a royal priesthood. Chosen. In a royal priesthood. If you're going to make that decision, make it quick. Don't delay on that decision. Make it quick. Don't delay. Delayed is still a disobedience. Make your decision and make it quick. Whatever that means to you, only God and you know. Make that decision. I'm going to stop right there, guys.